Chamber Project St. Louis opens its 10th season this Friday, bringing live chamber music to both traditional and non-traditional venues. St. Louis On the Air contributor Steve Potter has details.
Chamber Project St. Louis celebrates St. Louis and its place in the world. Dana Hodel is a clarinetist and the group's executive director. Violinist Kyle Lombard is a regular member of the Chamber Project. And Friday's concert features work composed by Adam Manis. Welcome, all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having us.
Dana, there are 7 concerts this season. So what do you mean when you say the Chamber Project addresses St. Louis and its place in the world? What do you mean by that?
Well, this is our 10th season, which we're very excited about, kicking off our 10th season this week. And we decided with our 10th season that we wanted to celebrate St. Louis because the mission of Chamber Project is really to build community in St. Louis. We employ over 20 local musicians and composers and artists every season, and we keep it very local. And the community here in St. Louis has really supported us so much to get us to 10 years that we wanted to connect each of our themed concerts to St. Louis somehow this year.
All right, we'll explain that. Kyle Lombard, how do you describe the Chamber Project's approach to classical music?
Well, I think it's a wonderful approach. It has a casual feel to it, yet everyone, of course, wants the best product on stage. We certainly appreciate the intimacy that we get with the audience because they're always close, which is something you don't necessarily get in the symphonic realm, and that's highly rewarding for me.
And, of course, Adam, you have a background with chamber music. People know you as part of the 442s.
Mm-hmm.
You're a guitarist and a pianist.
Mm-hmm.
You're premiering a work, by the way, on Friday. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But you've been part of the Chamber Project before, always as a composer?
Well, yeah. I was commissioned last year to write a piece about my hometown. They were doing a concert that was all about composers and their homes. And so I wrote a piece called The Delmar Wall about the divide in this city. And it was so fun. It was such a great experience to work with Chamber Project. And just like Kyle was saying, the intimacy of it, for a composer to have such great musicians take a lot of care in rehearsing and getting your music right, it was a real treat. So I'm happy to be back this year, too.
Mm-hmm. And Dana, you said before, each concert has a specific theme. So each one has a specific message, I'm assuming.
Right. So for our 10th season, we have 7 original programs. And, you know, we've been doing this for many years, that we try to find a link between all of the pieces that we program. And so people who are aficionados of classical music can add context to works they already know and listen with a fresh ear and learn some new works. And then people who are new to the genre can come and it gives them some context to put the music inside. So the concert this week is Faith, and then we move on to a concert about St. Louis,
right,
and it goes on from there.
So are you referring to what you call, you know, an active listening experience? And, you know, how do you really achieve that?
Well, I think one of the things we started off with in Chamber Project was really trying to frame music in a way that makes it accessible to anyone, no matter how much they know, if you know a lot or you know a little. And a lot of that is telling a story through the music and finding the stories in the music that people can relate to. And without being overly academic about it or getting into the nitty-gritty details of what makes the music work, what is the story behind the music? What are you going to connect to? And that increases, you know, the listening experience, I think, quite a bit.
Well, Kyle, Adam, what do you think? Is that really that unique for chamber music, that philosophy?
Well, I mean, that's the origins of chamber music, is you should be right up in there. And I think one of the great things that Chamber Project does, and especially this season in dealing with St. Louis, is they're playing in all these great locations around St. Louis. So you get to kind of experience your city with the music. It contextualizes it in a way that I think is very effective.
I'm glad Adam mentioned the venues, because some are very traditional this season and some are not.
That's right. So we start at the History Museum, which is for us a very traditional venue. They have a beautifully renovated auditorium. So we start there Friday night, and then we play at the Chapel Venue, which is this wonderful, intimate space where we've been quite a bit. It's near Washington University. We're going to do a concert on stage at the newly renovated 560 Music Center Concert Hall, so the audience is actually going to face out into the auditorium. We play at the Schlafly Tap Room. Mm-hmm. We'll have events at the Vino Gallery. So, yeah, we go all over.
Well, Kyle and Adam, what's your take as musicians on when you play diverse venues like that? Does it make any difference to you?
Certainly.
As an artist?
Absolutely. You have the obvious concerns, acoustics. You know, as a violinist, I'm always thinking about what space am I playing and how to project, how to communicate better, you know, in the space that you're in. But, you know, as Dana and Adam were saying, you know, the connection that we feel with Chamber Project is what is really special. And when you're thrown into a brand new acoustic, it's a challenge for all of the players to stay connected to one another, still make music beautifully, and also relate to the audience.
Is that your experience, Adam?
Yeah. So the piece I wrote last year, you know, I got to hear in two different venues, and they actually played it in a third because we did it in an open rehearsal as well down the street here at the Dark Room. They were all not large venues. None of them were too big, but it really did change how I heard it. I think it might have changed how the musicians approached it a little bit. And then just, you know, like when you're in a wine store in the Central West End hearing like these fantastic musicians, there's something kind of enchanting about it.
Changes the experience.
Totally.
Yeah. Dana, the season opens Friday at the Missouri History Museum, and there's a reason for that. There's a tie in there.
Right. The theme of this concert is faith, and we, in partnership with the History Museum, were very honored to be a part of the number one in civil rights, the African American Freedom Struggle in St. Louis exhibit, which is a fantastic exhibit. We actually have a tour of that exhibit tonight. There's just a few spaces left. It's free, but we just need you to register. Drop us a note online if you'd like to come. So we've tied into that exhibit. The theme is faith, and so we're looking at faith through a couple different lenses. And as we researched this program, we found, you know, we wanted to link it to St. Louis, and we had thought about the Dred Scott case as being something that's a really big thing that started from here in St. Louis. So we wanted to tie into that, and we were researching, and we found a statement by Frederick Douglass in the wake of the awful Supreme Court decision against Dred Scott that Frederick Douglass said, "We must walk on faith, not on sight." And so that tied into this idea of faith. And from there, we thought, Adam's our guy. We're going to have Adam write a piece based on Dred Scott. And we'll also then perform the Del Mar Wall, which he wrote for us last year, which also talks about civil rights.
Yeah, let's talk about both those briefly if we can. Adam, what should we know about the Del Mar divide? What do we need to understand about that going into this?
Well, so the Del Mar Wall piece is really more of a piece about how we talk to each other about these kinds of issues and trying to, I mean, my take on it, and it's music, so anybody can take it however they want, but was always from the beginning that there could be a more humane way to discuss these things.
And when we say the Del Mar divide, we're talking the haves and the have-nots, kind of basically.
Yeah, we're talking about that line that goes through kind of West St. Louis City,
right,
where one side is incredibly affluent and the other side is very poor. And it's been like that for decades, and it was kind of planned like that. But when you start talking about that, all of a sudden some humanness can be taken out of the conversation. And the whole point of that piece was to just be, you know, to remind people that while we talk about these things, let's remember that there are neighbors, you know, that we're talking to. There are friends, there are coworkers, there are family, there are friends. And to try to keep just a bit of understanding and empathy.
So you're going to start Friday night with that. Then you go into the piece that you were commissioned to do, your new piece, which will be a premiere.
Yeah, so The Devil in the Law.
And how do you start to write a piece of music about Dred Scott?
I don't know. You got any ideas?
No.
Honestly, the piece came together pretty easily because when you start doing any research on it, and at the time now that we're living through, there's so many similarities. Again, you know, almost just how we talk to each other and how the media can portray things, very similar to how things were happening in 1857. You know, Chief Justice Roger Taney had this opinion that was so horrible, considered horrible by many people, was controversial in 1857. And I wanted to put that out there as something that was ingrained in our law for a little while, this like incredibly horrible racist attitude.
You're calling your piece The Devil and the Law.
The Devil and the Law,
yeah.
And then Frederick Douglass kind of went on a mini speaking tour around New England that was just beautiful, but also, you know, incredibly smart as far as just constitutionally what this decision is now considered unanimously to be one of the worst Supreme Court decisions, not just morally, but constitutionally. And Frederick Douglass was just simply pointing that out.
Dana, can you comment on how Adam's music tells that story?
Well, it's brilliant the way he's done it. So the piece is written for baritone. We have an incredible vocalist, Robert McNichols Jr., performing this piece. And Adam must have done an incredible amount of reading to come up with the selected text that he set for the piece. And it's partially narrated, partially sung.
Oh, I see.
So it's for voice, string, quartet, and flute. So there's some sections of text that he took from the opinion. And it begins with this, like, really vile is the word you've used, opinion. And the music reflects that negativity. And then part two are the words of Frederick Douglass, directly referencing St. Louis. I mean, it's a really beautiful and I think also hopeful sound in the music.
Yeah, Frederick Douglass referenced St. Louis because, you know, the whole case kind of started coming to a critical mass here when a jury ruled in favor of Dred Scott, and then the Missouri Supreme Court overruled that.
So is this a history lesson for you, Adam, or are you,
you know what?
Are you taking a side?
A little bit, but I think it's a little too an emotional of a topic to just kind of put it in that box. I mean, obviously, but I was telling Dana earlier that as I was kind of dotting the I's and crossing the T's on this, the events in Charlottesville happened, and I had to kind of scrap a lot of my original sort of middle-of-the-road idea of things because it just felt so real and so relevant. Some of the things I was reading about this, you could say today about some of these types of events.
Have you heard it?
We are digging in tonight.
Are you?
And I'd just like to add that part of the essence, the experience of working with a composer live, especially with an emotional setting, is that, you know, we get to offer, and this is truly exciting for me, we get to offer certain things unique to our instrument. Like if we kind of feel that Adam is going for a texture, a mood, a feeling, we can offer something with our instrument. Say, do you want that? What kind of articulation do you want there? Would you like something more severe? Would you like something sweeter? Would you like something rounder or softer? And that, to me, is where the two forces kind of come together and create something magical.
Is it difficult for you, Adam, to stand back and watch other people do it and not be part of it?
No, not at all, because, I mean, Kyle is much more of an expert on the violin, as he was saying, than I'll ever be. So I actually lean on musicians that I work with mm-hmm. and ask them directly, how would you play this? Are you hearing anything? Because it always makes the music better.
Mm. Well, in addition to Adam's two pieces, you have three other works on Friday.
We have two pieces by Adam and two other works by American composers. We have a piece by Samuel Barber, which again features baritone Robert McNichols Jr. It's called Dover Beach, and he wrote it between the wars. And in our theme of faith, it sort of is a questioning of faith in a way, in a very beautiful way. And then we close the program with a piece that reflects on the practicing of a particular faith, comp line, by living American composer Christopher Rouse, which is, comp lines are the evening prayers in the Christian faith. And so it's sort of an expression of the active, busy mind and then the praying and the calming of that mind.
So that's Faith Friday at the Missouri History Museum. Then the second concert's October 13th and 14th at the chapel. This one sort of recognizes St. Louis's most famous landmark.
Yeah, the Gateway Arch. So we have another commission by another local composer, Zachary Cairns, on that program. And it's called Passing Through. The theme of the program is called Blueprint, and we're looking at architecture and space and the places we call home or the places we live. And so, of course, in St. Louis, we have the Arch. We have to talk about the Arch if we're going to talk about architecture. And we have a piece by Mozart, who is, of course, considered one of the greatest architects of chamber music, as well as a few other pieces that are reflecting on Frank Lloyd Wright and a really cool piece about hearing music in an old monastery, but it's been translated to solo cello. So that's a really interesting program.
Let's just briefly take a look at the rest of the season. Then it's Voyager in November at the 560 Music Center.
Yeah, that's the one that's going to be actually on stage. That's a big stage, and so the audience will actually be seated up on stage with the musicians, and they will be facing out into the auditorium. So that concert is kind of about bringing St. Louis to the world and the world to St. Louis. We have some pieces from all over the world for that.
In February, you're at the Schlafly Tap Room. What's Origins about?
Origins is our happy birthday concert. It's our celebration of our 10th anniversary season. So we're playing some of the pieces that we played a lot when we were just getting started. We're going to have beer. We're going to have cake. There will be balloons. It's going to be a party to celebrate our 10th anniversary.
Then you have two in March at two different places.
The same concert in two different places. In March, we'll be at the Chapel venue, and that concert is Opposition. It's music that is written by composers who were taking a stand one way or another, and we also perform that at the World Chess Hall of Fame.
Then you've got two in April, and something about our Mother Earth, connected to Earth Day, isn't it?
Yep, ECO. It's Earth Day weekend. We have another commission by a young woman who studied at Washington University and is now continuing her studies at Indiana University, Catherine Bodor, and that also features the music of Mahler and Schubert on that program.
And then Choice wraps things up in June.
Yeah, our annual Audience Choice Concert. So come to all of our concerts all year. You can vote for your favorite piece, and we smash them all together on our last program of the year.
Are you guys looking forward to anything in particular when you look at the whole season? Anything you're curious about?
All the new commissions. I'm always curious to hear what other local composers are doing.
I love Shostakovich Piano Quintet.
That happens in March.
Just briefly, would you explain your very open rehearsals?
As we continue, if people want to join our mailing list, we will keep you up to date as we add very open rehearsals, which is an opportunity to interact with musicians in a working rehearsal. So these events are always free. They're usually on weeknights, and they're very casual. We talk to the audience. The audience tells us what they like and don't like about the music, and we kind of add those throughout the season. We actually have a few set up at universities right now. They're not open, but we're going to go into some universities and do those this fall, but we will be adding some as we go on.
Final question for all of you, if you just want to comment on it. Chamber Project St. Louis, you say that you're not just there to interpret music, but there's a responsibility for some things like a responsibility for inclusion and engagement. What does that mean to you?
In my experiences with Chamber Project, it's all about engaging with audiences, new audiences, maybe new to this kind of music in new venues, maybe also new to music in general. And for me, it's always been this great, I mean, I live in this space of this blurred line between popular music and classical music and new music and jazz, and as a musician, it's very, very rewarding.
Any thoughts, Comp?
Yeah, I feel like the connection is rich in that we're not dictating to the audience what their experience is going to be, and I think that's what's gotten our forum in trouble in certain times, is that often a person shows up to a concert and they feel like, this is going to be given to me, I have no choice, I have no interaction. And just what Dana was talking about with the Choice concert, this is what everyone decides over the course of a season. And it's kind of putting the listener into, they become an integral part of the whole process. And I think it's really exciting.
Dana, final thought?
Well, I think as one of the people that organizes Chamber Project, we are very passionate that our art form of classical music needs to reflect the society we live in. And it doesn't mean to disregard the classic great white European composers, but to include them in a way and tell their stories in a way that are relevant to today, but then to also include as many diverse people as we can, and to highlight the work of women and the people of color, and, you know, to tell stories of not just European love stories, you know, of the traditional canon of classical music, but to keep it relevant. That's what's going to keep this art form vibrant and alive and bring in new audiences and enrich people's lives, is if they can connect this music, this art form, to their lives. And we're doing everything we can to make that happen.
Well, it sounds like an engaging season. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Steve Potter speaking with Dana Hotel, co-artistic director of Chamber Project St. Louis, composer Adam Manis, and violinist Kyle Lombard. Chamber Project St. Louis's season opens Friday night at 7:30 at the Missouri History Museum. There is also a docent-led tour of the museum's exhibition, Number One in Civil Rights, the African-American Freedom Struggle in St. Louis, tonight at 7, but pre-registration is required. For more information, go to stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.